First, a look at political money here in Wisconsin. Our next guest says many of the important political groups in the state are not required to report whose money they're spending on political ads.
That's mainly due to the language used in these ads and the different types of advocacy they display. The result? Unlimited spending and no disclosure as to where the money is coming from.
Jack Craver joins us in the studio now. He's a reporter from the Capital Times. He just wrote a piece, Dark Money, How Wisconsin's Most Politically Influential Organizations Avoid Disclosing Their Donors. In it, he tries to pin down where some of this money is coming from and who's providing it. Jack, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, you start your piece with a story about a commercial that ran prior to the recall elections back in 2012. I think it was people saying, I don't know what I think about the governor, but I sure don't like this recall idea. Can you tell us about the ad and what it tells us about the topic?
Yeah. No, it was a really great, apple pie America ad that had people supposedly in genuine Wisconsin scenery leaning over a dock fishing, talking about how they weren't necessarily Republicans, but gee whiz, this recall madness has to stop, and that's why they're going to vote for Scott Walker to end the recall madness. It was sponsored by a group called the Coalition for American Values, which is a group that I believe is based in Virginia, or is that one? I believe Columbus, Wisconsin. And the Center for Media and Democracy, which is a liberal watchdog group here based in Madison, recently discovered that all of that group's money came from this other group called the Center to Protect Patient Rights, which is a group affiliated with the Koch brothers, the influential conservative donors. But the point is that that group spent a large portion of money running these ads that nobody who's seeing the ads on TV, nobody knew who this group was. And more importantly, nobody knew who was backing them. And it wasn't until nearly 2 years after the fact that by reviewing tax documents, this group was able to discern where this money's coming from.
I've heard arguments on both sides saying we should know, as the Center for Media and Democracy says, we should know who's paying for these ads. There have been arguments, including legal arguments, saying that donors should be able to remain anonymous, that they get harassed, their businesses might get boycotted, that sort of thing. This is a running argument whether this anonymity is a good thing, isn't it?
Right. That's an ongoing philosophical debate that takes place. One of the arguments in favor of anonymity that people cite is this precedent that's been set for nonprofits. There was a famous legal case involving the NAACP back during the civil rights era where the Supreme Court affirmed their right to keep their donor secret. You can imagine during that era why the NAACP wanted to protect the privacy of its donors. So that's something that anonymity advocates cite. The counter argument, of course, is just that because of the proliferation of these nonprofit groups, they're increasingly taking the place of traditional campaigns, and this is where all the important political money is being spent. And so if we're going to make the case that campaigns should have to disclose their donors, then shouldn't these groups that are essentially taking the place of campaigns, in some instances spending far more money than traditional campaigns, shouldn't they also have to disclose their donors so we know who are influencing our election?
Let's dig into the fine point of what's regulated and what isn't. If I run an ad that says, Jack Craver hates puppies and the laughter of children, vote him out of office, certain disclosure rules apply because I use the word vote.
Correct.
If I end my ad by instead saying, call Jack Craver and tell him puppies and the laughter of children are good things, I have to disclose less. Is that right?
Right. You would, in that instance, you probably, in the state of Wisconsin, if I was a candidate for state political office, you wouldn't have to disclose at all because that would be considered an issue ad. That's very similar to the ads that a lot of really big groups in Wisconsin, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, which is the state business group, Wisconsin Right to Life, the anti-abortion group, lots and lots of the biggest spenders in Wisconsin politics run ads exactly like that and don't have to disclose at all.
And it sounds like from reading your piece, the only way in the case of that issue advocacy, without the words vote for or vote against, the only way you can track down who ponied up for the ad is if they make a mistake, if they file something wrong. Is that right?
Well, no, not exactly. What I said in the article was that often the only way to find out who, for instance, is funding Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is to wait about usually a year and a half until after the ad was aired, when every group files its what's called its 990 form that all nonprofits are required to file with the IRS. And so just now we're just starting to get the tax documents for 2012. And okay, we can't see who WMC is not required to disclose who gave money to it, but any group that gave money to WMC, any nonprofit group, is required to disclose that. So if you are have a lot of patience and can go through many, many tax documents, you can look through documents and say, well, I wonder if who the Bankers Association is given to. Okay, they gave $100,000 to this group. I wonder who the insurance industry nonprofit is given to. So you have to look at who the money that's being given rather than the money that's received.
Is this just the nature of politics these days? We've seen Supreme Court decisions leading to fewer caps, fewer limits on campaign spending. It seems like anonymity is becoming more of a thing in legal decisions I've seen. Is this just what we have now?
I guess so. I don't really know if there's going to be a comprehensive solution to it. It seems like there's no end in sight to anonymity in state politics. The reason I say that is because there really aren't any very strong examples at the federal level or any states in the country that have really implemented strong disclosure laws that can't in some way be evaded. In the state, for many, many years, people have advocated for a bill that for laws that would require any group that runs an ad within 60 days of an election that mentions a candidate to disclose their donors. Those laws have never been passed. There is a version of that law at the federal level. All these groups that run ads, even if they don't say vote for or vote against, they have to disclose the spending. But the thing is, they often don't have to disclose their donors because they say, well, the people who gave money to our group, they didn't give money particularly for that ad. They gave money just in general to us. They didn't know this ad was going to be run.
You mentioned that such a law has not passed in Wisconsin, and that's a bipartisan thing, right? When Democrats control the legislature, this law came up.
Absolutely.
Didn't pass. Republicans haven't passed it. Neither party seems to want to restrict that kind of spending. Why?
Yeah, I think things have changed. The dynamics have changed a little bit in recent years. It seems like there's a little bit more consensus among Democrats than in the past that regulating issue at or forcing disclosure would be a good thing. But absolutely, as recently as a few years ago, when the Democrats controlled the legislature, the Democratic leadership did not bring up this bill, and they clearly decided that it wasn't in their interest to.
We're talking with Jack Craver about how Wisconsin's politically influential organizations don't have to disclose their donors in many cases for the ads that they put on TV, radio, and elsewhere. We'll look at some of those particular groups coming up. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question? Do you have a comment about how these things work? 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org.
We'll pick up that conversation in just a few moments, but right now, here's a look at the headlines with Noah Ovshinsky.
We're talking with Jack Craver of the Capital Times about his piece on political ad disclosure in Wisconsin, and you can join the conversation. Would you support a law that requires all donors' names be on the table for political ads that air, say, 60 days before an election if they mention a candidate's name, even if they don't say vote for or against? Or do you think there's value in having anonymity for people who donate to put those kind of ads on the air? Call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. Jack, let's look at some of the players that you tracked in your story. Wisconsin Club for Growth is a big force in Wisconsin elections now, isn't it?
Yeah, that has been. They're a group that sort of emerged in the last few years. They're obviously an affiliate of a very powerful conservative group called the Club for Growth that was started in the 1980s by a group of wealthy money managers in New York City. The Club for Growth nationally has been noted for forcing candidates in the Republican Party to take much stronger positions against taxes, for supporting conservative primary challengers to Republican incumbents. But their role in Wisconsin politics has largely been to support the agenda of Governor Walker and to support Republicans for the legislature. And what we've seen is that the Club for Growth is increasingly the major financer of a number of conservative organizations in Wisconsin. They provided almost half of the budget that Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce spent in 2012 on political activity. And also what they're doing is setting up these front groups. They set up a group called Citizens for a Strong America, which just has a post office box in Columbus, Wisconsin, doesn't have any full-time employees. And that group then directs a lot of money to these socially conservative organizations, groups like Wisconsin Right to Life and Wisconsin Family Action. In fact, Wisconsin Family Action, which is a sort of an anti-gay, anti-abortion group, got 90% of its money from this one organization that doesn't have any employees. And all that money came from the Club for Growth. So it's sort of ironic. You have this big national business organization that's providing major financing to a group that focuses not at all on business issues, but on these sort of culture war issues.
A lot of the groups you look at are on the conservative end of the spectrum. One that isn't, the Greater Wisconsin Committee. What did you find when you tracked down their spending?
Well, Greater Wisconsin is an interesting case in light of the Citizens United Supreme Court case. What's interesting is that in Citizens United, the Supreme Court basically said to corporations and unions, you guys don't have to play this issue ad loophole game anymore. If you want to engage in express advocacy for candidates, you can. What's interesting is we haven't seen conservatives really start engaging in express advocacy, but we have seen unions do that. So in the past, in the 1990s, we had a lot of big unions in Wisconsin, like the teachers union. They ran these issue ads. Now what they're doing is they're providing all their money to this one, two groups, We Are Wisconsin and the Greater Wisconsin Committee. And they get millions of dollars from state and national unions, and then they run ads either supporting Democratic candidates or opposing Republican candidates. And they seem less reluctant to disclose their donors than the conservative groups. The argument that I've heard is, well, everybody knows what side the unions are on.
We'll go to our callers now. We've got Carlene with us in Brooklyn. Carlene, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm fairly politically active and so, know quite a bit about these kinds of issues and what's going on. And my perception, and I'm just seeking confirmation or disagreement with the notion that most people either just don't really understand that this is going on, about how much money is being poured into these advocacy groups of one type or another to influence our politics. And folks tend to just throw their hands up in the air and say they're all corrupt and I don't really care. And then they either don't vote or they are taken in by these advertisements that really, in some cases, are just genuinely false.
All right. Carlene, I want to get a response from Jack on that. Is this mostly flying under the radar, do you think, for most voters?
Absolutely. I mean, this issue is so convoluted. It's based on all this legal minutia. I don't think that the average voter on TV, watching TV, doesn't distinguish between a candidate ad that is, you know, really vicious but has a certain disclaimer at the bottom, or ads that engage in express advocacy or issue advocacy. These are terms that a very, very small sliver of the population is aware of.
And a lot of the names of these groups are generic, like
yes.
People for Things That Are Good or something like that.
Citizens for a Strong America, Coalition for American Values, Jobs First Coalition, We Are Wisconsin. Yeah.
It doesn't – it really disguises where these things are coming from.
Yeah. No, there's absolutely no way you'd know.
Thanks a lot for the call, Carlene. We'll go to Brad next in Mequon. Brad, hi.
Yes. My concern is that, for example, if all donations are publicly available, then say, for example, someone might fear that, well, if I give money to a political cause that my boss doesn't like, that could injure my career. And so, you know, I guess I won't give money then because I don't want to risk something like that, even if I strongly support a candidate. But if my boss doesn't, I don't want to get into trouble.
All right. Brad, thanks for the call. Jack, is that a common argument in favor of anonymity?
I don't know if it's a common one, but it's certainly one that I've heard before. I mean, it's certainly in line with the concerns that were raised about the recall petitions last year. What are the ramifications of signing the recall petition? You know, there's certainly people that have plenty of legitimate reasons in their personal or professional lives to avoid bringing attention to their political beliefs. And I think to a certain extent, other people on the other side of the argument would say, well, tough luck. You know, politics is about public engagement and, you know, you burn some bridges whenever you're publicly in support of something.
With the groups you're talking about, are these the kind of groups that are going to get a $50 donation, or is this mostly from a small handful of wealthy donors or organizations and unions that we're talking about?
Yeah, hardly any of them are receiving much of their money from small donors. They certainly receive the great majority of their money from large contributions from wealthy individuals, businesses, or other political groups. However, even some groups like Americans for Prosperity, for instance, they get enormous amount of their money clearly from the Koch brothers or these other wealthy interests. But they do have, and I think they boast that they do have a lot of people that do give small donations as well. They have people who are actually members of their organization. But some of these groups are not at all like that. They have no members. They have no public presence. They don't really even have any outreach to anybody except a few political insiders.
In some cases, groups have 0 to 1 employees.
Exactly.
In this chain. Yeah. You mentioned Americans for Prosperity. One thing that I thought was interesting in your piece, I think it was Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Club for Growth. Correct me if I'm wrong. In one case, one group donated to the other, and in another election cycle, the money went the other way.
Yeah, you see that all the time. You also see that between the two big union groups, Greater Wisconsin Committee and We Are Wisconsin. There's money going back and forth between these various groups. You don't know exactly why. I mean, maybe it's because one group, you know, one day may be engaging in some kind of activity that the other group doesn't feel it's qualified. You know, who knows why? I mean, a cynic might say that some of these transactions are taking place to further mask, make it even harder for people to track what's going on.
Another group you write about is the American Federation for Children. Where do they fit in?
They are a national group that advances the agenda of private school vouchers. They have become increasingly active in state legislative races, particularly sending out mailers in races in the Milwaukee area. Interestingly, they've supported a lot of Republican candidates, but they also have gotten involved in these Democratic primaries in the Milwaukee area. You have a solidly Democratic district. There's no chance a Republican will get elected. And what they've done is they've supported Democratic primary candidates who are friendly to school vouchers, school choice. They are interesting, the American Federation for Children. They are the only notable conservative group that has engaged in express advocacy. So they have to disclose their spending to the State Government Accountability Board. But once again, they don't disclose their donors. And the reason they don't disclose their donors is because they can say, well, we didn't they could either say that people giving money to them didn't give it expressly for that purpose. And also, the state doesn't demand that out-of-state corporations giving to in-state political groups have to disclose.
Do we know, despite all that, where the money comes from for that organization?
They're largely backed by a billionaire family in Michigan, the DeVos family, heirs to the Amway fortune.
Is this going to change anytime soon, do you think? Or are we just at the beginning of a big growth in this kind of independent group with hard-to-discern donors?
Yeah, I think it's certainly the wave of the future. I mean, we saw that with the presidential election. It seems to be a much bigger deal on the Republican or conservative side. I mean, there's plenty of independent expenditures on the Democratic side. But the thing is that when you have business interests that really want to get active in politics, I think businesses or wealthy individuals are much more reluctant to have their name out there. And that's why they will give to these groups that don't disclose. But yeah, I there's no, you know, there's if you're somebody who wants to give $1 million, you give to an independent group. There's no way you can give that money to a candidate.
Do you think Democrats are going to try to play catch up on this and get their own groups going and build their own similar war chest?
Well, yes, but like I said, I think if there's a market for it, they will. I think if rich people and businesses come to the Democratic Party and say, we want to chip in money, they'll say, we'll do everything we can to mm-hmm. make this possible for you. It just, we haven't seen quite the demand on the Democratic side because there's a lot of their supporters, notably unions, don't care about disclosing. They're fine disclosing because everybody knows what side they're on.
Jack, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Jack Craver. He's a reporter at the Capital Times.